How about we go to the Word then? Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be starting at verse 6. So we've been talking about, for some weeks, the love of God. Well, let's go ahead and read our first verse here. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. First of all, live in a life of faith. Live in a life of believing and pursuing what He has for us simply pleases God. So what about just pleasing God? When we follow His Word, when we obey His Word, God loves a cheerful giver. It pleases God when we give, and we do so wholeheartedly and cheerfully. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. For now, the first part of that, you know, we're to live a life of faith. A life of faith is believing His Word, believing His promises, and acting accordingly, or doing accordingly. And if the life of faith pleases Him, we should be effective in our faith life. We know that fear is of the enemy. The Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if we have fear in our lives, that fear is not of God. It would please God to overcome fear. Well, you're going to have to walk by faith to overcome fear. So we should be effective in faith, in overcoming fear. We know that God promises to supply our needs and meet our needs. We should be effective in overcoming need. In other words, we want to please God, and the result that pleases God is that we would trust Him, that the financial resources, as for instance, we need, come from Him, come into our hand, the need is met, and we're kind of like, wow, that was cool. I mean, this is the flow of the faith life. This is the flow that God wants for us and that pleases Him. To sit back and say, well, it's all we have and nobody should want any more and all that kind of stuff doesn't please God. If you've been around a while, you'll know that you have certain challenges in life. You'll believe God's Word, go to His promise for it, meet that need, and then are you all done? No, another need comes along, and you might do that again. And we see through life that the needs tend to escalate, and we are to meet that with an escalating or growing faith, or the way the Scripture says it, ever-increasing faith. So it's important that we become a people effective in applying faith to the Word and the promise and achieving the results promised. That's important. It's not selfish. It's not greed. It's growth. It's not greed. It's growth. But we're to grow. And I learned in my life that since it was measurable and easy, as I grew in faith for finances and saw more and more need met, I applied the same things to other needs, and it works the same way. Mm-hmm. It's not greed. It's growth. And so what we've been looking at is, from the Scriptures, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know how faith comes. It comes from hearing the promise. You know, it might be through preaching, it might be through reading, but the Word of God is spoken or is read, and with it, here comes faith. Comes down with the Word, and it comes to your heart, but then will it enter? Will it take root? Will it activate? Faith comes. But then we have the Scriptures from Galatians. It says that faith works by love. Faith works by love. So it comes. Kind of be like you, Lord blesses you with a new car. The car comes by a car carrier semi-truck or maybe a train. And it comes to the dealer. But you're not riding around. Yet. It used to be you could order, I guess you still can, you can order a vehicle made the way you want, set of buy what's on the lot, and it may take some time, certain number of weeks and so on. My daddy has done this through the years, and he gets a phone call. Your truck is in. The truck came. But now he's got to go get it. He's got to go possess it. Nothing happens until he goes, pays the money, is handed the keys, and he's got to put the key in the switch, turn it on, drop her in gear, and drive. Faith comes by hearing, but it works by love. So faith can come into one's life and have it not work. And since the Bible tells us faith works by love, love therefore is extremely important for several reasons, but one of them is our faith won't work without love, without walking in love. We've seen at least three things: our love walk towards others, second, loving God, third, I've been on here for a little while, is receiving, believing and receiving God's love for you, for me. If we're uncertain or don't understand the love of God, we'll have a very difficult time receiving blessing from Him. I had to learn with Rick and Sheila how to receive blessings from them. Anybody have a hard time receiving gifts and things, people doing things for you?
Give them to me. Let's find out.
Let's find out. Let's try an experiment here. Yeah. Years ago, built a house for my mom and dad. Now, I was spending their money, but I was a general contractor, and I was designing and arranging and putting all this together, and they were like, "We don't need this." I'd have to say, "What's need got to do with it?" And house was designed, drawn up in blueprints, and I went to the architect and said, "This right here, take this wall and extend it out another 10 feet. "We don't need that." Turns out you do need that, don't you? Boy, that has been a great meeting place for family and everything, that extra space. But anyway, it can be difficult to receive from others. And there's a variety of reasons that happens. For some folks, it's pride, because they feel like, "I won't be upped. I'm going to be the one doing the giving rather than the one doing the receiving. Now I got to do something for you." No, it was a gift, not a contractual obligation. Right. Now, it might be appropriate. Somebody gives a gift, you give a gift in return. But you better ask yourself, why are you doing that? Because that could be rooted in pride. It takes a certain amount of humility to receive from others. It takes humility to receive from God. There are people that say things like, "God, just take this part. I can do the rest, but just take this part." Do you realize that's saturated with pride? Without His help, you couldn't handle any of it. So why not let Him do all of it? Amen. So there can be difficulty in receiving from God as well. Back to Rick, you know, we go to Florida and he just wouldn't let me pay for anything. There were others in competition with him. But here's the thing. I can receive from Him because I know it's a manifestation of His love. And why would I not let Him love me? I would be thinking too highly of myself if I didn't let Him or somebody do that. It's actually a walk in humility to receive. Apply that over to God. Will it break His wallet for Him to bless you with something? Not at all. So we need to let God love us. He wants to love us. And someone who doesn't show their love in tangible ways, there's reason to think, "I'm not sure." It's a lot of talk. So you figure out sometimes words are cheap. Yeah. Got to be some substance to that, right? You know, a gift isn't necessarily love. Sometimes it's a bribe. But still, God's not bribing you. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to do good things for you. And it can literally be not walking in faith, but walking in pride to not seek the blessing of God. So we're talking about faith works by love. To be effective, if there's trouble in your love walk, there's trouble in your faith walk. Faith works by love. Let God love you. You have to receive His love. You have to pull on His love. You have to draw on His love. Another facet on this diamond, faith comes by hearing, works by love, but faith without corresponding actions or doing is dead. And I don't know, maybe we'll have to talk about that some too, but faith will cause you to take steps. So that's two areas to really check up on our love walk. Are we doing what He told us to do? Are we doing what we would do if we believed? And are we walking in love, including receiving the love of God? Again, our first verse here, 11:6, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and... So you're not believing just that God is, right? Oh, I believe He exists. Oh, I believe God is real. Oh, I believe Jesus is real. Oh, yeah, I believe. Not enough. Must believe that God, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe God is a rewarder? Do you believe God is a rewarder? Then would it be wrong to let Him be God? If it's His nature and His desire, and if it's something we're instructed to believe, we let God be a rewarder. And then it says, of those who diligently seek Him. So diligently seeking is not just a casual, oh, I believe He rewards me just all the time. God's just doing things for me. He's just, you know. No, it's diligently seeking Him. Diligence means you put some effort in it. So the reward comes to the diligent. Amen. The reward comes to the diligent, not to those that don't step out, stay active. Faith is active. Faith has got to be active. It's not just a one thing and you're done. You live in a state of faith. But the reward is for those who diligently seek Him. And we might say this, that faith, continuing in faith, is diligently seeking Him. Diligence is not demonstrated in the easy thing. It's demonstrated in the hard thing. Have you noticed sometimes life is hard and difficult? Everybody can run the race while it's slow pace downhill. But if it becomes a difficult climb and really challenges you, now is when we need diligence. Diligence is not demonstrated in the easy. Diligence is demonstrated in the hard. A couple of statistics came up in conversation with Dr. Jack when we were there in Florida. One of them was church attendance and so on. And that relates directly over into things like finance of the church, you know, People cease giving in church and so on. The national average of before COVID versus after COVID, churches on average are down 50%. Half the people are gone. Half the people are gone. That's pretty difficult to overcome, right? Well, diligence is demonstrated in the hard time, not the good time. This is further aggravated when, just a simple fact, inflation, what your money is worth, what our money is worth, what it will buy today, costs all of us 20% more for the same goods and services than it did less than 3 years ago. That's a pretty quick and sharp incline. So the money supply that we each have individually, unless, you know, we got raises along the way or have a business and the price increases have gone along with all of that, diligence is for the difficult, not the easy. So suffice to say, we're in the difficult right now. Are you experiencing that as well? Yes. Well, then it's time to pay attention to our walk of faith and our love walk. Amen. And for most of us, the most difficult thing we do is to patiently wait. When something is long in coming or a problem persists and is difficult to get past, that's when diligence is required, that's when faithfulness is required, and that may be one of the most difficult things we do. Let's go to the 10th chapter and the 36th verse, Hebrews 10:36. It says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." After doing the will of God is the same thing as it said, the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When you diligently seek Him, you're doing the will of God. What would God have me to do? What would God be pleased with? And if we keep doing what we should be doing, and we do it for a long time, that requires endurance. And notice that the promise comes after the endurance. The reward comes after diligently seeking Him. So we are talking about the difficulty of staying steady, seeking God, continuing to do what you should be doing, instead of throwing up your hands and saying, "This isn't working. It's just not enough. I can't take it no more. We're going to go down. This is failure, failure, failure." No, it's time for diligence. Review the Word. And I'm going to help you today with what to think on when we're in these situations. Many of us, most of us, start well. Image that comes to mind is something like a marathon. You know, the starter gun goes off and people by maybe the hundreds are streaming over the start line. Not as many cross the finish line. And some can get there in, I don't even know where it's at now, 2.5, 3 hours. And others will be 10, but they'll finish. You know, like, "Oh, I made it." And for them, that's a great victory just to finish. I don't think that I could do a marathon. I was always a sprinter, not a marathoner. On the other hand, life is a marathon, not a sprint. Kind of what we're talking about here. So many people start out well, but falter simply because they do not continue with diligence. Even when you don't see the result you're looking for, continue with diligence. Many people approach faith from a perspective that I operate in faith principles. I've proven them out. They work. Faith works. So I'm going to continue because faith works. Work these principles and it works. But that may be misguided a little bit. Endurance and diligence do not come from a strong will to stick with the principles. Endurance and diligence come from knowing the love of God and His faithfulness to keep His word. Can you see that difference? Some people will say, "I know faith works. I know the principles. I know," I hate to call it a formula, but this is what you do, and this is what you do, and this is what you do. And sometimes to listen to us talk to one another, that's what we reduce it down to just believe the word, release your faith, speaking words, make your confessions, keep going. We're talking about the principles of faith. Keep working the principles, keep working the principles, keep working the principles. But I think we'll run out eventually of the will to continue applying the principles. And then you're going to need something more. I found something more. There have been individuals who now, Pastor Sandy's been hurt a little over 5 years. How do you keep going? How do you keep doing? Am I just that strong? Sometimes, "Well, Pastor Sandy, you're just so strong. Just so strong." And I, like, not really. I'm a mushball many times, you know. But I know the love of God, and I know His faithfulness to His word. And I don't look to find strength on the inside so I can go another day. I look to the faithfulness of God that gives me strength for another day. Right. But there's a difference between gritting your teeth and working the principles in faith and going over the scriptures again, and I got to get to a good meeting so a preacher can stir me up. All of that's fine. All of that's good. But the thing that will take you over the top is knowing the love of God, and that love is faithful. That love will never fail you. My love for him may fail, but his love for me will never fail. Can't fail. Ever, 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 ever.
Amen.
Knowing God is faithful to keep his word. When you really get a hold of this in your heart, you start to use the word impossible. It's impossible for him to not keep his word. Now, I may sidestep somewhere, but it's impossible that God won't keep his word to me.
That's right.
It's impossible.
Amen.
Said it's impossible.
Yes.
Now, there's our part. But with Pastor Sandy, it's impossible that she won't be fully restored. I mean, she's come so far already. We all see that.
Amen.
Amen. We know the progress she's made. It's been over time. But I remain believing and understanding the love of God. He will keep his word. It cannot fail. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. And if I'll seek him with diligence and I'll run with endurance, I will get to that day where I can point to her and say, that's Sandy fully restored.
Amen.
He always keeps his word. Why? Because of who he is. Not me. I have my part. And it's important to understand my part. And what we're talking about right now is the, call it revelation if you want. What is a revelation? A revelation is a truth that you see so clearly and so deeply it becomes part of you.
Yes.
It's not a point of knowledge. It's something grasped with the heart and you've got it.
Amen.
And it'd be really difficult to be talked out of it. I know the love of God, and I know his faithfulness to keep his word. And I'm banking on that.
Amen.
Remember, we looked at it in the Amplified. I don't think I have it in my notes here, but rely on and cling to, adhere to the love of God, the love that God has for you. It's cling to, adhere to. You know, you just can't be pulled off of it. There are adhesives, glues that hold two materials together. But there's also processes called bonding. Bonding is where the materials actually fuse and become part of one another, and they can no longer be separated. What we're talking about here is we need to be bonded to the love of God, not adhered to. All of us have seen glues fail. But then there's bonding. An interesting thing, I forget the exact application, I think it's in aviation, making particular metals for airplanes. But they needed titanium and another metal bonded together. Not adhered, bonded. No mechanical fasteners, no adhesive of any kind. They needed them bonded. Do you know how they did it? They'd put the two metals, one on top of the other, and then they would set an explosive charge on top. And they would use an explosion to drive one metal into the other and become a sandwich where there's a zone where it's a little bit of both metals. Bonded. You need that explosion. We'll call that a revelation. You need that revelation. God loves me so that if I keep with him, keep believing him, and I don't let fear, I don't let doubt. In fact, it gets kind of hard to doubt. It gets kind of hard to accept fear because, no, wait a minute. Fear, you're talking about God. Fear, you're telling me that God won't come through.
Right.
God, your fear, you're telling me that I'm going to fail and then God can't do it for me. Well, I've got an answer for that.
Okay.
2 Timothy 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy 2, 13. Bonded. Explosive bonding is what that process is called. Look at this. Look at this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. There's a bonding. There's a revelation. There's an understanding of the love of God and who he is that realizes even if I am faithless, He's not. Even if I mess up, even if I blunder, He remains faithful, and He cannot stop being Him. He can't stop loving you because He is love. Hallelujah. Bonded. Even if I am faithless. Now, if you stay faithless long enough, you'll not see the results you want. But there's no one perfect in the house. And there's no one who hasn't had moments of faithlessness. There's no one who hasn't been tempted to doubt, who hasn't feared, who hasn't questioned. All of us have done that. All of us have stumbled in faith. You can get right back. But even if that happens, He remains faithful. He's faithful to His word. He's faithful to His promise. There's no way He can fail. Why? Because He can't deny Himself. That's who He is. And you might say, I don't get it. It's not working for me. It's not about you. Just say, God, I don't get it. I don't know, but I know You. And I know You can't fail. I know You can't deny who You are. And Your word appointed that blessing to me. And it belongs to me by virtue of You and Your word. And I just feel like a mess here, God. But You are faithful. So I'm going to continue believing. It's going to be all right. It's going to work. It's going to work because His word works, not because I work the word, although I do have responsibility, and I am to do that. But we can feel the accusation of the enemy when every time we're not perfect in how we walk by faith. We're not perfect in our love walk. But God is. God is. God is. Believe the love. You're starting to see what I'm talking about here. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Do you see how different that is from understanding the principles of faith and working the principles? Should you work the principles? Absolutely. Should principles guide your steps and decisions? Absolutely. But that is not your confidence. Oh, I've done a good job of applying the principles of faith. I confess the word every morning and so on. Yeah, okay, good, 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 good. But that's not what this is about. He cannot deny Himself. All right, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, means empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. Just thinking of those two together, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. His word, when it comes from His mouth, it is not empty. It can't be empty. It cannot return to Him and have a situation where somebody says, well, it didn't work. Impossible. 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 It shall accomplish what I please. In other words, the reason He sends it. When He sends His word to be a blessing, it will be a blessing. It will produce the fruit. It will do the thing which it says. The only thing that had happened is the recipient unhook. I guess that didn't work. No, it will work. It will work. And what I'm working towards here is saying, folks, we got to stick to it. Stick to it. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. You always look to the Word. You always believe that God's Word will work, not just because I work it, but because He said it. It's faith in Him. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. or need to correct himself. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Folks, if he says it, he'll do it. 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 We just need to make sure, did he say that? In some situations, did he say that to me? And if you got that, now apply, even if I'm faithless, he's faithful. He cannot deny himself. The word that he speaks from his mouth will accomplish what he pleases and what he sends it for, and it can't be empty. God cannot lie about it. He's not just trying to make me feel good, you know, just trying to say something to string me along. Has God said it? It will come to pass. If you see someone and you say, oh, that individual, boy, they're strong in faith, it's likely they've realized these things.
Yes.
And they continue looking to who he is, not themselves. I have been complimented, Pastor Webb and others, and Pastor Webb recently tried to, he says he has trouble finding the words to describe it, but he was talking about how I, Tammy included as well, how our love walk to take care of Sandy and all of that is, he said he doesn't know another situation like that. Even when I was in Florida there, other ministers, the incredible faith is what they're trying to say. And when I think and reflect on that, I'm going, what? I don't see anything incredible. I know the part I've played, and I know any believer can do it. That's my perspective. There are those who say, no, not everybody. And I'm thinking, if they knew what I know or they see what I see, yeah, they could do this. It doesn't seem special, unusual, or sometimes I'm tempted otherwise, but it doesn't even seem particularly difficult. I have looked to God and who he is.
Amen.
And when I keep, what's the scripture say? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you.
Amen.
That's what I've done.
God.
That's what I'm doing. And when I look at his love, and he cannot deny himself, and he cannot fail in his word, I know all I got to do is stay looking, stay looking, stay looking, and it's impossible that I wouldn't receive the reward. I'm diligently seeking him.
Amen.
It's about him. It's about his love. It's about his faithfulness. My faithfulness could be in question. His is not, at least not for me. Amen. And even if she and I were to pass from this earth and we didn't see the full manifestation, I don't know why that would be, but it wouldn't matter. I would know it wasn't God. Something I don't know. Even to say, why do bad things happen? I can't answer all of that question, you know. There's some factors, but can't answer all of that. What I'm getting at is it will never bring me to a place of doubting his faithfulness and his absolute commitment to keeping his word. One thing Job said was right. He thought God was the source of that trouble upon him. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He didn't attribute to the correct source of his troubles, but he declared, I trust him, I trust him, I trust him, I trust him. Job at least had revelation of the love of God. And what I'm trying to say is, folks, the Lord has helped me, but this is where I'm at. I know Paul said it this way, a little different context. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until the day of judgment. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. And I'm speaking this morning, hopefully by the anointing of God, reaching out for you, that you would be persuaded.
Yes.
That it would take root in you and it could never be pulled out. God is faithful to keep his word. And a successful faith walk needs that foundation. And with that, you'll do what you need to do. The right words will come out of your mouth. You don't got to work on your confessions when they come from the deep-seated what you believe. You don't got to work on, don't say that, because it doesn't even enter you anymore. Because you're just like, no, that got washed out when God washed in.
Amen.
Working on your confession is working the principles of faith. And again, that's good. And we all start there. But when this explosion, this revelation, this persuasion, this determination, when you've reached that place where you say, I know that I know that I know he loves me, because he loves me, he blesses me and takes care of me, and he's made promises to me, and his word always works because he always keeps his word.
Amen.
If you believe God loves you with his perfect love, and you believe he always keeps his word, do you believe that?
Yes.
As he always keeps his word. I've had to tell myself over and over and over through these years, you know, something don't seem like it's moving, changing. We're not seeing results of what we're believing for or at a pace that I want. What do I say to myself? I say, he always keeps his word. And so there's a thing that's now something I've memorized. Pastor Sandy and I say it every night together. The Lord is good, compassionate, merciful, and kind, and he always keeps his word. When you don't know what to say, say that. When you don't know how to respond, respond with that. He always keeps his word. He always keeps his word. He promised to meet my needs, and he always keeps his word. This is where the peace that passes understanding comes from. If you believe God loves you with his perfect love, and you believe he always keeps his word, you can endure any trial over any time period.
Amen.
To say, I can't do this. Well, yes, we in humanity, in human strength, can't. Yeah, we understand that. But when you understand what we're talking about here today, you'll be like the Apostle Paul, where he declared, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why could Paul declare that? Because Paul got really good at it? Because Paul was an exceptionally strong individual? No. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So we realize our weakness, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us because of our confidence and faith in him. In him. We can endure any trial over any time period. And one of the greatest difficulties is waiting over time, seeing nothing, seeing nothing. Seeing nothing. Way up in the north, Alaska and places like that, you know, they have rivers that freeze over in the winter. More than one village up there in Alaska, they'll put something out in the river with a flag or something like that, attached with a line to an alarm bell. Don't know the name of the town, but one I'm thinking of in particular. So on the shore, when that ice moves, even just a few inches, it'll set off that alarm. And the people all have like a friendly contest of put a few dollars on a day and a time. And there's a prize when it's going to happen. Well, from the top, as it's getting closer and closer to breakup, when the ice breaks and starts moving downstream, From the top, you don't see anything. But from underneath, that ice is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. But you can't see it. You don't see it until it finally breaks up and moves. And there are things happening in our lives that the breakup is coming. The movement is coming. And you can't see it. It's under the surface, but it's working. And it's working. And it's working. God is working things under the surface. God's working things where we might not see them. And we're counting on the breakup. It hasn't broke up yet. It hasn't broke up yet. Yeah, but it's getting closer and closer. And it's getting thinner and thinner. And breakup, breakthrough is coming.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, please. I'm doing the best I can to take what God has helped me to have on the inside and share it with you all. I pray you see it. I pray you grasp it. He who calls you is faithful, who also will think about it. Needs reminders? I'm going to buy him some sticky notes. What's it say? Who also will do it. Simple question. You believe that or not? You believe it or not? If you believe it, I mean, you just settle. Just settle it. I believe God will do, God will keep his word. He always keeps his word. If I believe that, I carry on. I remain in faith, diligently seeking Him. In fact, I can even let a smile come on my face. In fact, I can begin to enjoy my life again because I'm not occupied with what's not happening that I don't see. I know He will do it. I know it's working already, maybe under the surface and I can't see it. But He is faithful. He will do it. God, when He declares a thing, it's done. Now, having the manifestation of that, the result in our hand, that can take some time to move from what God decreed and has done over into when it is now materialized and manifested. And it would be no further than just looking at Genesis, you could see examples of that. God said, let there be light, and there was light. How long did it take between Him speaking it and it manifested? Nobody really knows, actually, to tell you the truth. But there could have been some time in between. So same thing, God spoke a word. Some of these words are thousands of years old and then written down. But they, to us, we can read them, and faith comes by hearing the word that can be spoken. And you might have quick result, and you might have days, weeks, months, and years. But from God's perspective, from the word's perspective, it was done when He spoke it. God don't need to do another thing. But we, as we continue and we diligently seek Him, knowing that He always keeps His word because He's faithful and He loves me, and He'll see to it that His word is performed. He watches over His word to perform it. He will do it. That'll bring you through anything.
Amen.
Whenever I'm tempted to think about how bad it is and what I've lost and all those sorts of things, number one, I know other people have got it much worse.
Amen.
So why should I complain, you know, when there's others going through more than I am? There's always somebody that's got more.
Yes.
And just keep returning to God will do it. God will perform it. No matter what I see, no matter how long it takes. And I don't try to think about walking out the next year. I'm walking today.
Yes.
Amen. And following God today. Doing what I'm supposed to be doing today. Believing that God loves me today. Knowing He will keep His word. All I need to do is have faith for now.
Yes.
Remember in Hebrews, now faith is It's all present tense. How do you walk by faith over a long time period? Just be present, in the present. Remind yourself of the love of God, the faithfulness of God. Even if I blunder, even if I'm faithless, He is faithful. Hebrews 11:11, please. By faith, Sarah herself. Let's stop for a second. What we're discussing here is Abraham and Sarah and the promise of a son of their own by Sarah. And we calculate something around 25 years since the promise of God to where the promise came to pass. 25 years. Now, maybe there's somebody in here who's been believing God in a particular thing for 25 years. I don't know of anything that I've been believing God for 25 years. Everything I've been believing God for has come to pass. Amen. Everything that I know of that He's led me to do and so on has come to pass. Would you agree, 25 years? Now, that could be difficult to stay steady for 25 years. And they had much less to go on than you and I do in terms of a written Bible, the Spirit of God living on the inside, being born again in the Lord Jesus. But faith, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. The impossible happened because she made a judgment. She made a decision. She received a revelation. She saw the light. She had the explosive bond. It came and resided in her. She determined, however you care to describe it, but she put everything she thought previously behind her and went forward with one understanding. He is faithful. He is faithful. That'll take you through. He is faithful. And look, she received strength to conceive. You make this judgment, you make this determination, you cross this bridge, you get on the other side, and then you receive strength to conceive. Many of us are looking for strength to conceive on the inside, and then we think it will progress forward. No, it's the other way around. We judge Him faithful. This God who promised, He's faithful. He'll do it. He'll do it. He's done it. What's my problem here? It's already accomplished and done. Then you receive strength to conceive that on the inside of you, and life begins inside you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. And there's a time period, and we would call it gestation in producing offspring. There's a gestation period, but notice it doesn't even start until that seed or till conception has to happen. Conception happens when we judge Him faithful. There may be things that we think we're believing for, which we have not had conception on the inside yet because we haven't crossed that bridge. Wait a minute. He's faithful. He keeps His word. He's not a man. He does not lie. It never returns to Him void, but it accomplishes that which He sent it for. And when a woman conceives, a baby is coming. Finally, Ephesians 3, what could we receive strength to conceive on the inside of us? Great things, things that He's promised. Not that we invent, but you find out, what did He say to you? What has He promised to you? And you may think, oh, I'm going to stretch my faith for that. Well, judge Him faithful who had promised, and you'll receive strength to conceive. Need to have conception on the inside. That comes from judging Him to be faithful. Ephesians 3:16. This is the Apostle Paul praying. I'm going to pick it up in his prayer. He's praying for the church at Ephesus in the 3rd chapter, 16th verse. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Well, that's the same thing said about Sarah. She received strength to conceive after she judged him faithful. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, there's the connection to love again. You have to know the love of God for you and be so rooted and so grounded in that love that you therefore receive strength to conceive. By the way, what brings the conception? What makes the woman pregnant? What makes the recipient pregnant? We understand that in biological terms. It's the Word that is the seed of God. Faith comes with the Word. The Word is the seed. The Word can cause conception on the inside of us, but not if we're not rooted and grounded in love. You see, this understanding of love, being rooted and grounded in love, creates the time, space, and place where the Word of God, His love can come by His Word, and it can bring conception on the inside. We receive strength by that Word. If we're not rooted and grounded in love, would this be working? Probably not. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth and height. Some people say there's significance to the four dimensions, and I believe that's true. Not necessarily for our purposes today. We say we live in a three-dimensional world. We actually live in a four-dimensional world. Fourth dimension is time. I could stand in this exact spot in height, width, depth, three dimensions, but if I'm not here at the right time, you and I won't see one another. That's the fourth dimension. God's love operates even in that, at the right time. Amen. The right time. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. You get filled with the fullness of God, being rooted and grounded in love, comprehending that great love of God. It leads to what it says next. Not to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, note while you're here, it doesn't say according to the power. It says according to the power that works in you. We can limit how much power works in us. I don't want to limit the power working in me. I would like to start receiving. In fact, I have. I'm going to continue exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. In other words, if you can think it, God wants to do more than that. If you can ask it, God wants to do more than that. And there's more than that in His Word for us. Amen. But you see, rooted and grounded in love. Got to know that love. And the manifestation of that love is faithfulness. I'm not perfect in love. And I may disappoint somebody and not keep all my word as I should. But not God. He will keep all of His word. This immeasurable love will do exceedingly abundantly above even what we ask or think. Tying it all together now, God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Diligently pursue Him. Walk in His love, and that love will be faithful to you and keep His word to you. Faith works by love. You'll see far greater blessing in your life walking in His love with this revelation we've been talking about today. He is faithful, and He always keeps His word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.